I want to start today by reading Revelation 12, verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God.'" I want to say that again. "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God." Did you get that? I'm going to read it again. "Now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the accuser has been cast down, the one that accused them before God day and night. He has been hurled down." And this is what I want to share about today. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them." That's us. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I want to share today on the word of our testimony. We overcome, the Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I don't believe that we can do anything. We can't add to what God's done. We can't add one little thing, and we can't take away. By the blood of the Lamb, God has gone into death. He's taken the keys to hell and death, and he's given us victory. But there's something in that word where it says, "But they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." And I thought about that. What does that mean? What is the word of your testimony? What is the word of my testimony? And you know, I woke up just a few days after New Year's, and I felt the Spirit of God speaking to me, and it was just a still small voice, but it was very clear and very direct, and it was, "You can change your life today." And I thought, I can change my life today. That sounds good. But since then, God has been working out, what does that mean? What does that look like? Because I know that we have heard so many times, there's not a thing that we can do. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I can't do anything without God. I can't do anything without his anointing. It's him in me. But I want to just share today about what our testimony is, how we overcome. The word testimony is a witness of what our God has done, is doing, and will do. That's what our testimony is. You know, we've often in the past said, okay, I'll give a testimony, and we share about how bad we were and all the bad things we did, and then we said, but then God saved me, and amen. And that isn't a testimony of what God has done. A testimony attests to the truth about who Jesus Christ is. A testimony of God is the thing that makes the enemy flee. And the testimony, our testimony, has to center in, and it always points to Christ. Our testimony isn't about us, it's about Christ. And can I say that even in the word, centered in the word testimony, is actually the word martyr. And it means they laid, and when that scripture says, and they love not their life even to death, that's what it's talking about. It's, I believe in Jesus Christ so much. I believe in the power of God so much that I'm willing to lay down my life for what I believe. I'm willing to say yes and amen, Lord. I'm willing, when God calls my family to Calgary, I'm willing to root up everything that I know and the familiar and say yes and amen, God. I'm willing, if I live in South Africa, when God says move, I'm willing to sell my business, my home, and I'm willing to say yes, Lord. I will go and I will do whatever you want me to do. It's laying down my life for the King and the kingdom. In Revelation 11:17, it says, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and you have reigned." Now, I just want to say our testimony is our testimony. You can't borrow a testimony from somebody else. You know, we can read all the great books that are out there, all the new things that are on the market. We can go on the internet and we can get the latest, greatest prophetic word or visions from the well-known people and the ones everybody knows. But you know what? That might be their testimony, but what is your testimony? Each one of us, I believe, needs a personal, intimate relationship with God. We have to have a testimony about what God has done for us and how he has overcame in my life, what he has done, the miracles, the signs and wonders that he has done for me. The Bible says, and I've quoted this verse many times, those that know God intimately will be strong. We can't just know about God. We don't know all, you know, we can, the Bible says even the demons know, you know, but even the demons tremble. So we can know all about God. We can know all about what he does, but God is calling us to a personal, intimate relationship with him that we will have our own testimony. In Psalm 66:16, it says, "Come and hear, all you who are far, who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." What he has done for my soul. Gwen on Friday night talked about what God has done for her soul. She shared scriptures, and then at the end, you know, she shared many scriptures of the faithfulness of God and how we personally can grab a hold of those scriptures and they become my testimony. They become my declaration. Psalm 71:15, it says, "My mouth will tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day long, for I don't know the limits to them." All day long I will tell of the testimonies of God. Psalm 119:13, it says, "With my lips I have declared all the promises, the judgments of your mouth. I have joy in the way of your testimonies." Something supernatural happens, church, when we begin to declare who God is and what he's like, even in the midst of our difficulties. You know, I can walk around my house, and when I'm feeling weak in my body or I'm feeling weak in my emotions, I speak to myself, "Let the weak say I am strong. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. And you know what? This is not just positive thinking. This is way deeper than positive thinking. This is accessing the God of the universe, the one that you have personal, intimate relationship with, to come and to save you, to deliver you, to be your strength, to be your very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 19:46, it says, "I will speak of your testimonies before kings. I will not be ashamed." Psalm 107, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed say so. When is the last time that you've told people that you're redeemed and what God has done for you? And how awesome he is. You know, we seem to be able to share difficulties. And I know we need to bear one another's burdens. There's a time for that. But there's a time, church, when we need to encourage one another with the testimony of God. Let the redeemed say so. Let's declare how good our God is. He is a very present time. A very present help in time of trouble. He is my strength. When I'm weak, he is my peace, even in the middle of the storm. When I have no wisdom, my God is my wisdom. He's my strong tower. When we go into a counseling situation, he is my counselor. When you're counseling with one another, you look to God. God, you're our counselor. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. Your word goes and it heals and it delivers and strengthens. Let the redeemed say so. Can I say that again? Let the redeemed. That means let us do something. Let us say what God has done. I can quote from people from our team in NCMI, people in other streams, Bethel, Word Faith, whatever your favorite thing is. But it says, those who know me intimately will be strong. You'll display strength when you know God, even in the midst of your difficulty and your affliction, you will know strength. It says that we would know him and the power of his resurrection. That's not just knowing about him, that's knowing him intimately. You know, Mike said last week when he was preaching, he said, God wants to save us from ourselves. And it's true. I am the biggest opposition to me. It's true. I'm my biggest opposition. I have stinking thinking sometimes. I have thoughts and imaginations that are not of God. In fact, my thoughts and imaginations are saying the opposite of what God is saying sometimes. I have unforgiveness. I'm holding on to offenses, and they're opposite to what God is declaring to me. If I am more than a conqueror, then I have to conquer something. We can't go around, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror, and we're staying in our same state. If I'm more than a conqueror, then I need to conquer something. And the biggest thing that I conquer is my flesh. It's my thinking. It's my thoughts that are contrary to God's thoughts. We can stand around quoting things until the cows come home, but I believe until we move in to the promises that God has for us, we're not going to see a difference. My response, even though I'm weak, even though I'm fearful at times, and I've gone through it. I've shared with the ladies a little bit on Friday night some of the struggles that I've gone through, where I've had no energy, where I've had, you know, my emotions have been weak. But I have to declare, even in that moment, what is God like, and who is he like, and what is he like for me? What does he say about me, even in my state? I want to read this scripture from 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 17. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. We stink to some. But to the other, we are the fragrance of life. So some we smell like death, but the other ones we are bringing life to. God has called us to be a fragrance. The fragrance of Christ needs to be on us so that we are carrying that fragrance everywhere we go. And do you know what? That we are a fragrance everywhere we go. Everything we do, not just in this church, the way you work, the way you do business dealings, the way you are in your home, the way you are in your community, you are a fragrance. What is God saying through you? We need to be the best Bible that people will read, because some will never pick up this Bible, but they will read and they will smell the fragrance of Jesus in us. It says, to the one we smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? It's a big task. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. We speak with sincerity. We have this job to do, to go into the world, to be the light, to be the salt that God's called us to do. And you know, even when we're going through difficulty, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Death in us. You know, I thought about it on Monday night when we had the prayer meeting. And I just thought it was a funny picture, but at the beginning of the meeting, there was two or three people that just said, oh, I've had an exhausting day, and, you know, my energy was low today, and, you know, they just said different things. And then we prayed a little bit, and then we ministered to a few people. And I thought it was amazing how the people that said actually that they just had a low day, or it was a bad day, or their energy was low, all of a sudden the Spirit of God just ignited their spirit, and they had prophetic words and visions about different people and strengthening. And how God takes us in our weakness, and he becomes strong for other people. So, you know, we don't have to wait until we have it all together. We don't have to wait until, you know, we come to this spiritual state somehow, and, you know, we're all perfect. God uses us in our weakness. Most often, honestly, in this last year and a half, when I've struggled being weak in my body, it seems like that's when God's used me the most. He's showing me more. It doesn't depend on you. I can put my spirit, that resurrection spirit in you, and I can bring life to people. Even though it feels like death in you, I can bring life to people and speak words of life to others. It's an amazing thing, but God wants to do it. He takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He takes the weak things. And you know what? We're all candidates. We're all candidates for God to use and proclaim his power in the earth. I believe that our testimony needs to be what God wants to do. Sometimes I've heard myself, it's hard, it's difficult. I can't do this, poor me. And do you know what? It's actually known that if we speak like that, that I can't and it's hard, it actually decreases our chances of being able to do something by 30 to 40%. By having the right heart and a positive spirit about something, and I believe it's not just positive thinking, it's who we are in God. You know, why did God say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? He didn't just say that because he knew that we were just going to always, you know, be riding on the mountaintops and everything was great. He said that so that in the middle of the valley, I can proclaim, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. It's not just on the mountaintop that we're saying and declaring those things. It's when we're walking through the valley. It's when we're going through the tunnel of affliction and it's so dark. All we can see is the next step in front of us. But with our God, we can do amazing things. Many, the Bible says, are the affliction of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Not just some, not just partly, but all of them. In Daniel 4, it says, I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. His spirit and word are renewing me. I want to read another scripture in Psalm 71, 14 to 18. I know this feels like the old-fashioned way now. Everybody can just look up on their iPad and their phone and go right to it, but I like to actually turn the pages. Psalm 71, 14 to 18. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. Though I know not its measure, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Do you know what? There is power in us declaring to our families, to our children, who God is. And can I say, it's our job, parents, to train up our children in the way they should go. It's awesome that in this city we have Christian schools that will train them in the ways of God and in all their subjects, but that school cannot take place or cannot replace what you as parents are to teach them and train them. And every day we are teaching and training them by our example, by what we do. We can tell them anything we want, but our example will be their greatest teacher. Our declaration cannot be where we are spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, or even our status. That's not our declaration. Our declaration is who is God. The night is far spent. In Romans 13:12, it says, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The truth is, and I just want to read some of these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6:7. In truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 35:4, be strong and do not fear. Behold your God. Behold your God. No matter what your situation is, behold your God. You know, sometimes we talk like God isn't in the equation, but people of God, we belong to God. God is always in our equation. He's always in the mix. We can't see our situations without God. You know, it's a miracle to get into E.T. Kenny. It's a miracle the visions and dreams God has for our future. It's going to take God. It's going to take a big God to do the things that he's dreamed for us. And you know what? I believe that God gives us dreams and visions that are bigger than us so we can't do them. And we have to rely on God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of our might and the power of his might. Our confession, our testimony should not be our lack of faith, our suspicions, our limitations, our personalities, even our characters. But what does God say? But God. God calls us in this day of visitation. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, to have such a conduct before the world that they would see, they would observe our good works, our speech, and that often talks about even our lifestyle, which should not be crude or gossip or spreading discord or having unforgiveness toward one another, but our speech should be so that people would see and believe that there's a great God. Everything we do as believers represents Christ in either bad or good. We're a testimony, bad or good. And you know what? It's just the way it is. Sometimes we don't like that. But when we become a Christian, it's like you live in a glass house. And now You are living for the glory of God. And God wants us to be light and he wants us to be salt. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for a vice, but as bondservants of God. I just want to say that I really believe that this is the time of God that we are called to walk shoulder to shoulder. Our shields up against the enemy, protecting one another. How will we ever conquer unless we get rid of our differences, our indifferences, our offenses, and our hurts? We will never conquer. You know, Matt and Jen came to our home group a few weeks ago, and he shared at our home group, and he does this fighting stuff. So he brought his great big huge shield, and it was an incredible picture because he talked about the armor of God and the shield. And it's a great big huge shield, and it goes right from your feet and actually goes right up to under your chin. So you are totally covered. And then he took his sword. So his sword arm is kind of exposed. But what you do when you're walking shoulder to shoulder, you put the shield up. And so your shield actually covers your brother's fighting arm. And you go shoulder to shoulder and you cover one another. And so, you know, you put it up so that you can see the enemy. Because if you put it up in your face, well, you know, you're going to get it. But the thing is that we put up our shield. We cover one another. This is time when we need to walk shoulder to shoulder and our shields up. And we cover one another, and we cover the ones who are weak, that they can't be on the front lines, but we cover them. We don't expose people's nakedness. We need to make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the King and the kingdom. We need to put away the records of each other's wrongs. And pulling away from brothers and sisters because we have aught against them. We need to put on our armor. We need to hold up our shield. We need to take the sword of the Spirit and let's go, brothers and sisters. It's time. It's not time to go around the mountain again and again and we get sidetracked by little offenses and hurts. And that's exactly the enemy's ploy. God has things for us to do in the city of Terrace. We're going into that school, and God has a divine plan for us. It's not just for us. It's for the city. It's for people who are perishing, people who are dying, people who are broken, and they need the word of God. Our greatest attack against our enemy, let me say this loud and clear, is our unity. Our greatest attack against the enemy is our unity. Am I saying that we're going to agree on everything? No. God has brought each person in this place. We have differing thoughts about all kinds of things, but I believe that God wants us to be in unity and as one mind, as one man, the Bible says, fending and defending as one man, one vision, one direction, one voice. We're in unity. We have our shields up. We have our swords out, and we need to fight the enemy, not one another. Because the enemy would love to just see us doing that. The enemy doesn't have to bring any great big huge sin or attack the church. All he does is have to get us attacking one another and having some offense between us, because already it weakens us. I've been out of step at times. I've allowed offenses to cripple me, to hurt me. I've pulled back from people because of it. But I believe that God wants me to purpose to do everything I can to fulfill God's vision and dream to do my part in this church. I'm not just here because I'm Mike's wife. I'm here because I'm a child of God. God's put giftings and abilities in me as a woman of God and in you so that he can come and build this church. He wants to build Are we building? Are the words that we're saying, are they building? Are our actions building? Are our thoughts and imaginations, are they building? Christ said it, not me. Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what? We need to get in line with what God is building. What's he saying? And we can have differences of opinion. And I said that already. I'm not talking about us all being yes men, because God has brought it so each joint supplies, each one has different giftings and abilities, so they would bring it to the table, so it would make us even stronger and knit us together. I want to do what Gwen said a few months ago when she preached about the arrows, about the prophet coming and getting the arrows and giving them to the king and beating them. I don't want to just beat a few times. I want us to overcome. I want us to be more than conquerors. I want to beat those arrows until there's no strength in me. We have lots to do. We have lots to do. I want to run this race. I want to finish this race and not have regrets about what I didn't do in God. All the opportunities in God that I missed. I want to do it with the strength and the purpose of God. Let's stand shoulder to shoulder. I believe God is calling us, men, women, children. Children too. Children have a part in this. Everyone. We are called of God and to hear God's plan, not man's plan for our church. God's plan. God has a plan. God has a dream for us. Let's purpose that our mouth will only speak that of unity, that my declaration, my testimony will be of what God wants to do, and that we will follow hard after God with everything that's in us to do it. The possibilities of what we can do through our God are supernatural, and they are abundantly bigger than anything we can think or even imagine. By submitting to the Lordship of Christ in every area of our life, my thoughts, my imaginations, my fears, my what ifs, my bad habits, my unbelief, my unforgiveness, by being a good leader and a good follower, I believe that the word of my testimony and the reason why I shared what God spoke to me, I can change my life today. And that's what the other part of it is. I can change my life today depending on what the word of my testimony is. What is the word of your testimony? And what will it be going from here today? Psalm 18:28, it says, "You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop." This is talking, listen to the first part of this. "You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." This is a person going through darkness, and this is what he is declaring. "For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord?" Who is our God except the Lord? "And who is a rock except our God?" When our heart is overwhelmed, we go to the rock that's higher than us. "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He arms me with strength for the battle." And then it goes on to say, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock." And in conclusion, I just want to read this thing that I don't even know where I found it, but I just thought it was a powerful thing, and I put this on my Facebook a little while ago. And it's talking about dreams. There's nothing stronger and powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten or broken or taken. Dreams fight. They persevere. They go on because determination will always triumph disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams will always prevail. And I want to say, church, what's God's dream for you? What's God's dream for you? What's God's dream for our church? It's way bigger than what we can dream.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.